Hi everyone, I'm Jonathan Daugherty, founder of Be Broken Ministries, a national nonprofit that serves adults affected by sexual brokenness. And I've written a new book. It's called The Four Pillars of Purity, Foundations for Building a Life of Integrity and Purpose. In this book, it reveals the fundamental teaching we've used for 10 years to help sexually addicted individuals find hope and freedom. The Four Pillars of Purity is both insightful and practical. It's really for anyone ready to break free from unhealthy sexual habits and build a new life of purity and purpose. This book is also a great tool for small groups. So get your copy of The Four Pillars of Purity at pillarsofpurity.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-497-8748 or pillarsofpurity.com. Bulk order discounts available.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Daugherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Hey, radio listeners, welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad that you've decided to join us today. My name is Jonathan, and I'm here with Stephen. Stephen, how are you doing today?
I'm blessed today. Thank you.
Good. He's got his coffee cooling down over there.
Yes. And,
I had to tell him, you got to quit blowing on your coffee. It sounds like somebody breathing heavily on the phone or something, you know. So anyway, we're ready to roll. And I want to just share with you this week's purity verse that can kind of help you keep focused throughout the week as you struggle with just the daily things of life that want to pull us away from God's design. This comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it's verse 16 and 17, and it says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple." Man, what a great honor and what a great responsibility to think that God has placed his Spirit within us. And what a gracious thing that is. But wow, that makes us think about our bodies, I think, in a different way. We house the Spirit of God within our body. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so in that sense, you know, where do we want to take God's temple? In what way do we want to use God's temple? Because wherever we take this temple, we are, in essence, taking the Spirit of God. And may that be a sobering reminder as you struggle with the temptations that want to draw you into the dark. Do you want to take God's Spirit into the dark? Do you want to take, you know, his temple into places where he doesn't want you to go? And so I think that's just a good reminder that we are that temple. And so let's live in such a way that it honors God wherever we take our bodies. Well, Stephen, we're going to jump into this week's broadcast about insights. We got some more insights from men. We were just talking off air about how, you know, we've got over 300 broadcasts that we've done on the Pure Sex Radio program. And lots of those, I was kind of going through them and realized we got a lot of insight broadcasts. And so I think we're just going to start numbering them. I think this is number 8. And hopefully, listeners, you'll be able to kind of go back through the archives and say, you know what, I want to gain some insights. And And you can just start looking for the insights broadcasts to be able to say, what are some things that people have picked up along the way that they've gone, aha, okay, that's something that makes sense now. I'm seeing the connections. The dots are coming together. And I think that's what this broadcast is going to be about. Lots of just multiple variations and different kinds of insights that guys have picked up along the way.
Does that mean I'm supposed to start?
Hey, yeah.
You paused right
go
there.
Go ahead.
So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to put these two together. Your body is the temple of God, which is right, with porn is often used as a way to manage stress. And I was listening to a speaker not too long ago, and the speaker said that a young man will find his male sexual organ and then find comfort there. Mm-hmm. And that will be a form of stress management. So if there's fighting in the home, or if dad's drinking too much, or if dad's never there working all the time, if mom's overwhelmed, mom's sad, or mom has a controlling anger problem, there's no peace in the home, a young man will go to his bedroom and find himself and find comfort. And that becomes a routine. And then it can become a pattern. And then it can become a compulsion. Mm-hmm. And then you can wake up one day with an addiction.
And I think, you know, on the fundamental level, it makes sense just in terms of, I think, even how we're just naturally designed in the sense of, you know, kind of having a pain avoidance system, you know, even physiologically, we're designed to avoid pain, right? I mean, you put your hand in a fire and your system, if it's working properly, your body is going to scream at your brain and say, don't put your hand in that fire. Well, stress, you know, is an uncomfortable situation. It's a situation, I think, in which your system, whether it's emotional, physical, whatever, is put into a position of pain. And so from a very young age, if mom and dad are fighting or if somebody's hitting me or what, you know, I'm going to, it's kind of like an automatic response. I want to avoid that. So when you discover your sexuality, wow, there's pleasure in that. So what makes more sense to a kid? Avoid pain, pursue pleasure. Avoid pain, pursue pleasure. And I think that is a natural response. I think eventually God wants to teach us to have supernatural responses to pain, because he says, you know, you share in my sufferings, you'll share in my glory. So there's a whole nother kind of loop that God brings us back through that says pain isn't the enemy. You can handle it in certain ways. And if you've learned from a very young age to only handle it in saying, I'm going to pursue pleasure, that can lead to some destructive areas. And so, but we're not here to shame anybody that's mm-hmm. done that. I think all of us, we've got things that we learned in childhood to say, stress, you know, pain, here's how I'm going to deal with it, pursue pleasure. And so porn can become one of those outlets to do that.
Yes. So it was interesting because I was reading this morning in the garden scene where Christ says, you know, let this cup pass before me, but not my will, your will. And then he goes and a little time passes. And then he says it again, you know, if you can let this pass. And then the third time he went to check on the apostles, they were asleep, and he said it again, if there's any way to let this, you know, pass, whatever stress, whatever difficulty there is. And yet he had to go through the pain. You know, the bigger plan couldn't be accomplished unless we went through the pain. So we're having really two discussions, right? One is about young men, be careful, right? And the other is grown men, be smart.
And I think, too, what this guy was saying, the insight that this particular guy had was, oh, I use porn for stress management. I think that was the insight. It wasn't, and sort of the
that
next...
That was like an aha, oh, I see what I'm doing.
Yeah,
saying.
Sort of the next step in the journey is kind of what we're talking about. But I think it's sometimes we have to pause for just a second and say, did you connect those dots? You know, or there may even be listeners out there that are going, yeah, you know what, every time I get stressed, I'm seeking to escape and go look at porn or go do something sexually pleasurable. Oh, okay, I'm connecting those two. I manage my stress with pornographic thinking or by doing something inappropriate with my sexuality. And I think that's the first sort of step, is being able to kind of make that connection. Okay, yeah, use porn for stress management. And then you can start to deal with some of the, I guess, solutions for how to re-examine or look at new ways for dealing with stress. But I think you have to start there. That's the insight. I use porn.
Yeah,
for
this
stress
is
management.
An individual's insight.
Yeah.
It's like an aha moment. I think I've been doing this for a long time. Then the dilemma is, it's difficult to stop doing that, mm-hmm. because what are you going to do with stress? And people say, replace it with something. Go bowling. And it's like, what are you talking about? Enjoy your sexuality or go bowling? You know? Okay, smile, nod, yeah. And say, yes, that's a great idea, then go away. And no.
Yeah.
So there are challenges, because we have to learn to do healthy things like exercise, right? And pray and work on discipline and enter worship and do other things instead of childish things. So you have the second insight?
Yeah, the second one is a guy started to discover, you know, I'm being more open and honest. And the insight there, I think, is that that's a major contrast for a person who's spun sexually addictive behaviors. For somebody who begins to spin in the sexual addiction cycle, they're very closed, they're very detached, they're very isolated. I mean, they can even be in a room full of people, but they're still closed and detached and isolated. And so the insight for this guy is, you know what, as I've really started to engage the deep struggles in me and started to engage this sexual addiction pattern that I have, I'm starting to be more open and honest. And wow, that's actually a good thing. And I think that's one of the deceptions of sexual addiction and sexual temptation, is it's saying you're going to be more fulfilled and more complete if you go do a bunch of sexual stuff. Just be more sexual. And I think what this guy is learning is, I'm being more open and honest, and that's a good thing, because it's so different. It may be scary, but it's so different and refreshing from my old cycle and pattern.
And what's the old pattern? Probably lying, keeping secrets, avoiding, having little rituals, not being a student of me, not studying my own patterns, not looking and listening and learning. But the whole idea, I have to be open, I have to be honest, and I have to be growth oriented. That's the new path, mm-hmm. versus the old ways that keep us stuck. So number three would be a cycle in relationships where something happens and you imply I'm failing at doing something. I don't pick up my own clothes. I spend too much money. I waste time on television. I play games. I'm not parenting the kids well. I'm not taking you out on dates. I always run the car down till it's low on gas, and then I don't put the peanut butter in the refrigerator, I put it in the pantry, and so I get told I'm a failure, and then I get my feelings hurt, and I don't want to think about it because I feel bad, and then I say ugly things to you and get angry, and then I pull back and I just stop talking, and it's my way to punish you.
Now, what's interesting is this is under an insight. You know, this guy's probably done this 1,000 times.
Right.
And I think, to me, what's really telling about some of these insights is some of us looking from the outside in, or maybe even a listener hearing some of this, goes, well, duh. I mean, can a person see that they, you know, they get hurt, then they get angry, then they pull back and they stop talking? Well, no, not always. I mean, I think that's the numbness and sometimes the blindness that comes to a person that's pretty self-absorbed. And so what ends up happening is everything's about him. So when he gets hurt, guess what? He doesn't see necessarily the pattern that he goes in. I mean, he behaves in those ways. He gets angry, he pulls back, he stops talking. But because he's really so self-absorbed, he's not necessarily, his eyes aren't necessarily open to being able to see that pattern that he's in. And even if somebody comes up and talks to him and tells him, and his wife says, listen, you're pulling back, you're just getting mad, you stop talking every single time. Then what does happen? He gets hurt, he gets angry, he pulls back and he stops talking. And so I think the insight for this guy was, I'm able to actually have enough clarity of vision now to actually see what I do. And keep in mind, listeners, as we're talking about this, all of these are just insights that individuals have had. I think some of them may connect with some of you, some of them may not. And the issue isn't so much that we're going to give solutions for every single one of these insights, as much as it is to say, are you on sort of a self-discovery of insights in your own journey? Because I think, you know, we could spend a whole broadcast on this one cycle right here in terms of breaking it apart and offering some solutions and things like that. But I think the important point is this guy got to a place where he was honest enough with himself to be able to say, here is the process that I go through. Here's this cycle that I go through. From that point, yeah, then there needs to be something dealt with to say, how can I redirect my pain? How can I deal with it honestly? How can I stay engaged in relationship and work through that hurt in relationship rather than disconnecting and isolating? But that's for another show.
Right. And I think part of the solution is if you get hurt, then say that I'm hurt. Mm-hmm. Or if you get angry, then say that I'm angry. But don't just move through all these steps and then do the old pattern. The goal is to try to break the pattern. And if you want to not talk, then you say, I don't want to talk right now, but I need to talk right now. So I'm going to talk right now, but I'm hurt and angry, right? You got to try different things. So the next one would be, I recognize that I don't handle my own anger very well. And then I look in my family and I also see there's family members that could work on their anger as well. So maybe my wife and I work on anger, or my daughter and I work on anger, or my son and I work on anger. But I take responsibility. I'm the adult. I have to be the leader of the children. And so I have to own it. And I have to get a book and start talking about this and learning and bringing new information. But I can't just be angry and hope that things will eventually end well.
And really the bigger part of this insight that I see is that, and this to me is a huge insight, and I don't think a lot of people get this, but if you get to a place where you start to realize that your brokenness and your weaknesses and your outbursts are affecting more people than just you, I think that's a huge insight, because it starts getting a person outside of their own head, outside of their own sort of self-absorption, and saying, wow, my life has an impact positively or negatively on those around me. And so that's what I see more in this insight here, is he's saying, hey, I have an anger issue, and I'm recognizing it's not really just my issue. It's my son's issue. It's my wife's issue. And even if they don't have a quote-unquote anger problem, my anger problem is their issue.
Oh,
because
either,
I'm in relationship
right.
with them. And so I think that's a huge part of this insight, is saying, you know, we may look at it and say, oh, I need to go get help for my sexual addiction, or I need to go get help for my anger problem. But this guy is saying, I'm starting to realize I don't need to just think about it in terms of me getting help for managing my anger. I need to realize that the way I've spewed out over my wife and my son, I've probably set a pattern for anger in our home. And so therefore, yes, I need to deal with my anger, but I also need to come alongside my son. I need to come alongside my wife and help them deal with the effects of my anger, but also maybe the pattern that it set in them to be angry.
Good. Wow, you sound real smart.
It's my second cup of coffee.
Oh, no wonder you're perking up. So that was number 4 on this list of great insights that we are sharing. Number 5 insight is this. I'm realizing now that purity involves dealing with the deeper issues of the heart. And so I've been thinking, it's a sexual struggle. I shouldn't struggle. I do struggle. I'm going to kind of stop struggling. Okay, I'll use the cutting back technique to struggling. But, oh, I'm struggling again. And but I want to stop struggling, and I promised to stop struggling, but I couldn't stop struggling. So, but I'm going to. It's a new year, so on the 1st, I'm gonna not struggle anymore.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is a discovery and an insight that I think guys get if they are willing to keep pressing on in the journey. Because I think what happens a lot of times when a guy acknowledges and recognizes he's got a sexual addiction and he begins to deal with it, you know, it goes kind of through some of the standard programs. Hey, plug into a support group, go to counseling, you know, maybe go to a workshop. And what can tend to happen is a guy starts thinking that purity is really about programs. You know, that period is just about having the right book or having the right counselor or having the right support group. And what happens is usually about, if a guy's pressing into that, usually at about 6 months, there's a pretty significant wall that I think this insight can come out of, kind of in that 6 to 9 month range. If a guy's willing to keep pressing in, he realizes, okay, I've got these programs in place. I got this support group. I've got all these boundaries around my internet and all this kind of stuff. And I'm not acting out, but I'm not really improving. And he starts realizing I'm getting angrier or I'm seeing other emotions come up that I've never felt before. And I'm thinking, why am I so frustrated? And okay, I'm not acting out. Why am I getting more and more agitated and frustrated?
Yes.
And I think that's when a guy can discover, wow, purity really involves dealing with a lot deeper issues of the heart than simply not looking at porn or not acting out.
That's good. So number six, I am breaking new ground. I've decided to stretch myself, reach further, do the uncomfortable. I am growing, and I have an announcement today I'd like to make, and here is what I'm doing. I am talking now. I am talking now. Why did you laugh?
The crowd goes wild. You know?
Why did you laugh?
Well, because, you know, there's this big buildup, and you're thinking, this guy, you know, he's got the, you know, secret, the, you know, nugget to what it's going to take. But you know what, and I chuckle just because I identify. I'm not laughing at this guy. I'm laughing for the sake that I know exactly what that feels like, because even though I have talked all my life, I think the insight that this guy is having, you could almost put it this way. He's talking now, but he's talking in a way that connects. Because I think a lot of sex addicts, they're good talkers, but they're lying. They're not connecting. They're talking to a void. They're talking to disconnect.
He's saying, I'm talking and making a connection talking.
Because that's breaking ground. I mean, yes. It's not like this guy's never talked before in his life. You know, he was a mute until now, and now he's talking.
Talking and making an emotional connection with those around me.
Because that's a significant difference. I mean, guys talk, and they lie, and they cover up, and they talk to manipulate. But now he's saying, I'm talking now. I'm talking to connect. I'm talking to actually engage rather than talking to avoid and disconnect and lie.
Well, good. Thank you for clarifying that. Number seven, I have a new plan. People have been telling me all my life, you have to pull away the layers, you know, and just pull it apart layer by layer, piece by piece. And after thinking about it, I don't think this is a layer issue. I think I have to smash this onion wide open and get to the heart of the matter. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think the way we talk about it, sometimes we talk about how over time, you know, from childhood and when some of these behaviors started, we do start putting layers kind of over our heart. But what that does is it creates a hard heart, and you may have, you know, thousands of layers over your heart. And so sometimes it seems a very daunting task for somebody to come to him and say, oh, we got to start peeling those layers back. Oh, great. There's 30,000 layers to go through.
Mm.
Whereas sometimes if you see that it's a hard shell, sometimes you got to take a chisel and a hammer and say, we're just going to start smashing this thing open. And then we'll deal with the pieces as they fall away. Mm. But I think sometimes it can be a daunting task for a guy to say, let's go layer by layer by layer, instead of saying, let's take the hammer, smash it up, and let's see what we got. You know, and I think that's his insight, is saying, I really want to be aggressive on this. I don't want to sit back and kind of let it come to me. That's what I've done my whole life, is think that I can just let it come to me. I want to really be aggressive and proactive in this and smash it.
So there was another comment made that goes like this. I realize now that most of my life, my adult life, I've been acting like a teenager, like a teenage boy. I think I've been overemphasizing dating and romance and fun, and easy and sexuality. And I don't think I've grown up, but I realize now I must become a man.
You know, when I first heard that, I thought, well, this guy's doing better than I was, because most of my adult life, I acted like a toddler, you know, not a teenager. But oh, still, the point here is, and I think the insight is, a guy's realizing it's time to grow up. You cannot live as an adult perpetually when you are acting as a child. And you know, this is a hard insight. It's a hard insight for us to swallow as individuals. Mm-hmm. Hard for us to even say over the airwaves, because in a sense we feel like some people are going to want to come through the microphone and punch us in the nose, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard when somebody, you have to look yourself in the mirror, somebody looks you in the eye and says, you're a child. You're acting like a child. And now, part of that, this is the insight here. Remember, part of that is, well, let's be honest. Okay, if I'm acting like a child, then there's probably a lot of childish thinking in my life. And there's probably some wounds that are related to that childish thinking. So this isn't about shaming a person who is struggling with childish thinking and childish behaving. It's about saying there comes a point in time where there's a decision to be made. Not in a shaming sort of way, but saying, am I going to deal with the wounds from my past? Am I going to deal with this childish thinking so that I can grow up? And this guy, you know, even having this insight, he's got a long journey in front of him, but it's a noble one. It's a good one, because God wants us to grow up. God wants us to be men and women who are living as men and as women.
Yes. But even that is like doing the hard things, mm-hmm. right? To be a man is to do the hard things. Discipline, patience, waiting, growing. And then we're spiritually not just called to be a regular guy, even though emotionally we are just regular guys. We're called to be a Christ-like man. So you're right, the journey is long, but it's worth it.
Yeah. And I think we've got to get to that place of having that insight first before we can take that first step on that journey. It's hard. I mean, you know, I've had to do that, just say, Jonathan, you know what? You've got childish thinking to deal with, and you've got old wounds that need to be healed. And it's a good process to go through. It's painful and it's difficult and it is a long journey. I'm still on it.
Yes.
I think I'm about a teenager now. So I've gotten from toddler to teenager, but it's a long road.
I'm in junior college, I think. You know? So number nine, sometimes life will just step on my last nerve. Mm. And then sometimes life jumps up and down on my last nerve. And sometimes it twists it and bends it and rolls it into a ball until I am, you know, maxed out. So life has a way of wringing you out. And I have to realize, I have to be smart about how I deal with life.
And you know what? I think this is a good insight. You know, it's interesting. It almost sounds negative, right? But I think it's a good insight of being able to say, you know what, I've probably tried to excuse that, or I've tried to ignore it. I've tried to medicate it. I've tried to do something. But now I'm going to be honest about it. Hey, you know what? Life does, you know, kick me around sometimes, and life is hard. And I think that's really kind of the underlying message. Life is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be painful. And I think that's a good insight, because then you can deal honestly with, you know, what life is all about.
Good.
Let's make this next one our last insight for this broadcast, and I think it'll tie in really well with our verse for this week.
Good. I am God's man. I'm not my own. I was bought. I forfeited my life. I turned it over because I'd made a mess of it. And so, you know, as you were saying, we can be really good adolescents in men's bodies, but to be what we were designed to be, to step into the plan that God had for us, is to be God's men.
Yeah. And, you know, that ties in really well with our verse this week of 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 about being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And let's remember that even in our brokenness, even in our weakness, God said, I will place my Spirit in you. You know, it's not about us being all perfect and having it all together. He says, I'll place my Spirit in you, which is a great thing, because you know what? Then we can live a life of purity. We can walk in righteousness because he's put his Spirit in us. So let's be reminded of that this week. You are God's man. You are God's woman. You're not your own. You're bought at a price. And so therefore, honor God with your body. We're glad you've been with us, and we'll see you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.